Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Ignite Christian Church.
We're living in awful times, aren't we? We're living in the worst of times, but we're living in the best of times. This is where God wants each one of us to be. You and I are born for such a time as this. Do you believe that? You could have been born anywhere. You could have been born at any time. But God has put us here for such a time as this. It is good. I like that. You know, we look around today and we see battles everywhere. We see families in strife. We see intensity. I don't know about you, but the intensity of life seems to be getting greater. It's becoming more urgent. And I believe one of the reasons for that is the return of the Lord is imminent. Does anyone agree with that? Yes. You know, it was interesting. I was looking at my phone the other day, and I don't know how it got on there, but all of a sudden this thing come up about the doomsday. And I thought, this is interesting. I'll have a little look at it. And do you know there's scientists and people out there that believe the doomsday clock has gone 2 minutes to 12? Anyone heard of that? I have no idea how it got there, but I think it was trending. Is that the right word these days? I've got it? Oh, thanks, Sarah, I've got it. And it was trending. And I thought, people's reactions to that was just pure fear. There's a televangelist overseas, I won't mention his name, who is selling food. He's selling, what are those things that you don't need power for? I don't know. They generators, that's right. He's selling generators. And he's selling them at an exorbitant price. And people are flocking to these to buy them for what they believe is up ahead. And have you heard of the preppers? Oh, some of you are with me. Well, preppers are those people that dig big holes under their house and they fill it up with food and all sorts of things that they're going to need in the future because they're all frightened. They're all frightened, and it's fear that's causing them to dig down deep with these bunkers. But my question is, if this great disaster that everyone is believing is going to happen, and I do agree there's some awful things coming up, but if somebody finds out that you've got a bunker underneath, you're not going to be safe at all because everybody will be racing to find out and get what you want. You know, the enemy of our souls knows that his time is short. And he's doing all he can to bring down the Christians and make them their life unbearable. Do you find that? National President of Aglow wrote us a letter this week and she said, "I do hope you've had a time of refreshing and recuperating." And I thought, no. It's been an intense time. It's just been more and more intense. But the constancy of battle is wearing down the saints of God. We're getting tired. I know sometimes I'm tired and I think, Lord, it's just got to stop. But you know, Father says to us, we have to stand. He said, it's a time to stand. It's a time to, having done all, stand. I was musing one day with the Lord. I'd been going through a particularly hard time. And I said, Lord, what does it really mean for you to be my refuge? What does it really mean for you, Lord, to be my refuge? Because we have the words of life in the Word. But sometimes you sort of think, oh, they're a bit old. The words are old. But what does it really mean? If I was to ask each one of you today, what does it mean for God to be our refuge in these troubled times? The Lord led me back into the Old Testament. And his word for me as I was going through those times was, I am your refuge, now and always. I asked him what it meant. And he led me to the book of Joshua in chapter 20. And I'm going to read, I'm not going to read it all because you can read it yourselves. But it was after the time when Joshua had given, dispersed the lands as Moses had said to do. And each tribe had their land. And then Joshua says, the Lord said to Joshua, now tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed Moses. Anyone who kills another person unintentionally can run to one of these cities and be protected from the... I can hardly see up here. Sorry. Be protected from the relatives of the one who was killed, for the relatives may seek to avenge the killing. Upon reaching one of these cities, the one who caused the accidental death will appear before the leaders of the city gate and explain what happened. They must allow the accused to enter the city and live there among them. If the relatives of the victims come to avenge the killing, the leaders must not release the accused to them, for the death was accidental. But the person who caused the death must stay in that city and be tried by the community and found innocent. Then the one declared innocent because the death was accidental must continue to live in that city until the death of the high priest. It was in office at the time of the accident. After that, the one who found innocent is free to return home. The following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Kadesh of Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriathaba, they're pretty hard to pronounce, some of these, Hebron in the hill country of Judah, and on the east side of the Jordan River, across from Jericho, the following cities were designated as cities of refuge: Bezer in the wilderness plain of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the territory of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan. These cities were set apart for the Israelites as well as the foreigners living among them. And I thought, all right, Lord, that's all right, I haven't killed anyone. But what are you saying to me through this word? And it was really interesting what God brought me to understand. You see, we have here a story, it's a protection really. Anyone that killed anyone by accident was able to run into one of these cities and be safe. I couldn't work out why God was telling me that, because I'd never killed anyone. I hadn't done that. And he said, Melva, go into it and begin to understand it as I give it to you. So I began to look at these cities of refuge. And this is what I'd like to share with you today. First of all, we see these cities have a purpose. Each one of them had a purpose. There was three on the east side of the Jordan and three on the west side of the Jordan. They were visible. They had a purpose. It's a beautiful reminder to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift to us from God. In his grace, he has made a way. It is all about God. So these cities have a purpose. These cities have power to save. And don't we know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who who has power to save. Anyone that entered that city was completely safe, unless they went out before the high priest had died. These cities had power to secure, and the power was sufficient for everybody. The cities of refuge would work for anyone who fled to them, Jew and the stranger, it didn't matter. The position of these cities were available to all. God provided these cities as a refuge because he knew that there were people that would need them. What a beautiful picture of Christ it is. What a beautiful picture. We see in the old, it's revealed in the new, don't we? And I'd like us to look at these cities this morning. Jesus is our refuge. He is our only refuge in this world today. It doesn't matter where you go, you will not find a refuge other than him. It is him. These cities were very prominent places. They weren't cities tucked down in the valley somewhere. Most of them were up on a hill, actually. And they were built out of limestone. So they actually glistened in the day from the sun, and of a night time the moon would highlight them. So they were always visible for anybody that had to flee to them. And isn't that like our Saviour? He is always visible to us when we need him. Always. They were prepared. They were prepared cities. The high priest would make sure that they were prepared. They were cleaned. The streets were cleaned. There was no debris anywhere on them because there had to be a smooth path for the person that was fleeing. And we flee today to our Saviour, to our Lord. And there is a smooth path. There is nothing in between unless we put it there. But from the point of the Lord, it is clear, open, beautiful. And he paid the price for that at Calvary. The roads were never, ever clogged, as I just said. The priest would make sure that there was nothing, there was no debris on these roads as the entrance to this city of refuge. And another thing, the gates were never, ever closed. The gate was never closed. Now, in those days, they used to close the gates for protection of the city. But in the city of refuge, it was never closed. There was always a way for someone to find refuge in those cities. And you know something? It was even beautiful. You know, we know what the signposts of today are like, don't we? But you know, there were signposts in the area, and it had a big sign on it, Miklak. I can't pronounce it properly, but it meant refuge that way. So there was no hiding it. There was no putting it aside. The word actually meant refuge. Come this way. This is the way to safety. This is the way. And isn't Jesus our way to safety? He is our way. These cities of refuge were a place for the unclean, the lost, the lonely, and the helpless, the wretched, and the downcast. Anyone that had been accused wrongly of anything could go to these cities and find a place of refuge. Each name of these cities has a special meaning. Each name. And I'd like to share some of those names with you today. But before I do, I just want to say, Jesus is our refuge. No matter what you're going through today, whether it's loneliness, whether it's ill health, whether it's financial troubles, no matter what it is, Jesus is our refuge. We see a picture of that in the old. He is the refuge from a lost and dying world. And he wants us to bring others into the refuge for him. Jesus is always open to us. You know, there's not a time when we go to him and we say, oh Lord, I just need A, B, C, or D. And he says, I'm sorry, the gates are closed. Can't come. No, he says, come on. Let's reason together, he says. Let's work this out together. Christ never turns away. He is our provision. He not only provides protection, he provides food, both physically and spiritually. And you know, in the city of refuge, the high priest provided everything that that person needed. It's amazing. Jesus is our sufficiency. There is a virtue even in the hem of his garment. I remember years ago, I was sharing this, I was in a desperate situation. Sounds like I was always desperate, eh? I'm not, you know. I had some pretty good times as well. But I was in a desperate situation and I had three lovely sons and I didn't have anything to feed them. And I was backing the car out of the driveway and I thought, God, you are my provider. Where am I going to get food for my children? And I looked over and there at the water meter were all these little sparrows just picking up what seemed to be nothing. And the Lord said to me, I will be your provision and I will provide for your children. He is our provision. He is. So we can see Jesus is easy to reach. His arms are always open for us. His entrance is never locked. He is completely sufficient and he is our only hope. I think that's pretty good. You look all so serious. You know, I'd be jumping up and down. Yes, he is all that we need because he is our place of refuge in this day. And I really believe he wanted us to be reminded of that today. We don't have to skirt around him. We need to go to him. We need to find that intimate place with him. And in that intimate place, pour out our heart and say, Father, here I am. Chris touched on heart this morning, and that's what this life is all about. I loved the songs that we sang this morning. The word, communion, it all ties in together. It's all about our heart. Go to him today. Find in him the refuge that you need because he will be found by each one of us as we run into him. You know, when you look at the names of these cities in the Old Testament, they have a wonderful meaning. And I just like to go through six of them. Kadesh means righteousness or holy place. When we come to Christ, what does he give us? He gives us forgiveness of sins and he gives us the robes of righteousness. It's all what he does. So one of the cities was righteousness. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was actually in my bed. It wasn't very holy, but I'd had a whole situation of things happening. And a lady gave me the Word of God. It was a living Bible. It was a living Bible. And I went home and I read and I read and I read and I read. And I ended up in Revelations And it was there I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in that bed. And he gave me the cloak of righteousness. Shechem, and I love the meaning of this word, it means shoulder. Oh, have you ever seen a dad with their little one up here and the little one is tucked in the nap of their neck and it looks beautiful? That's what our God is to us. When anyone ran into the city of Shechem, they were running into God's shoulder. Oh, do you need to tuck into him today? Do you need to be lifted up? Listen, I'm 70 years old, but I need to be lifted up sometimes and tuck into the neck of his shoulder, because he sees us all as kids anyway. The Lord says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we have a dad that picks up his little child, or a mum, can be a mum, and taps them in. And what do they get? They get security. They get comfort. They get love. So the city of Shechem is a wonderful place. Hebron, the place of fellowship. Fellowship with God through Christ and fellowship with other believers. It's a place of intimacy. Oh, if you haven't discovered intimacy with God, you need to. It's the most wonderful place to be in. Lord, I'm coming. And he meets us. Draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. Find that place of intimacy with him, because it's a place of sweetness. It can be a place where he tells you a few things too, but it's a place generally of sweetness. He is longing for his bride to be intimate with him in the secret place today. Bizar, stronghold or fortress, a place of protection and victory. It's a refuge for the helpless. It's the safest place to be. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Any other hiding place is not a hiding place at all. We need our Saviour. We need our Beloved today like never before. And he is saying to us this morning, I am your refuge. I am. Come into me this morning, because I am your protection. I am your shelter. I am your fortress. And Ramoth means exalted or height. It reminds us that as believers, we are seated together in heavenly places with him this morning. This word puts us, the world puts us down, but our Beloved lifts us up into heavenly places. Look up, not down. Do you ever recognize that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? Have you ever done an exercise where you just look up and you say, Lord, I'm in heavenly places with you? Have you ever done it? I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to look away at what the world is doing to you this morning and look to him, because he says, you're seated with me today in heavenly places. It's not an earth to heaven relationship, it's a heaven to earth relationship. He wants us to take hold, I believe, of all we have in Christ, all we are in Christ, and begin to live that out day by day. Do you know, when we pray, we're agreeing with the Lord. When we find out his will, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Let your will be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. He did say the other way round. So he wants us to be seated up there in our place of refuge. I get excited about that. I think they're so simple, but we miss it sometimes. I know I do. And golden men separated. He is the refuge for us when we're tempted with what this world offers. He is our refuge. And he says, come unto me, be separate. Put away the things of the world. I have far more to give you than what this world will ever offer you. Aren't those names of those cities amazing? When you look at each name and see that each one is Christ, it is his character. It is all about him. And you know, in Hebrews 6, we read, This was so that there were two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath. They can never change. They never, ever change. And when he says to us, come in, he says, come in, come in. Recognize that I am your refuge. Run to me. Run away from that which is pulling you down. Turn around. Do a 180 or 360, whatever it is. 180, thank you. Yeah, 360, I'm back to the beginning. Some of us do 360. We go to 180 and we say, here it is, Lord, here it is, here it is. And then we do 360 and we're taking it back again. I know I'm not the only one that does that. Most of us are like the rest of us, eh? Sorry about that. But he is our hope. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor for our soul. It's a sure and steadfast anchor. It doesn't change. You know, Merv's a fisherman, as you know, and, you know, when they put the anchor in, it's got to be strong. It's got to hang on. Otherwise, the boat just slips along. And Jesus is like that. He doesn't slip along with the tide. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. And you know, there's a little story in Samuel, and I'm going to read it because they're not my words, so I don't want to plagiarize it. But it talks about a fellow by the name of Abner and Asahel. There is an interesting story in the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 2. We see a man named Abner, who had been Saul's commander-in-chief, being pursued by a man named Asahel. 2 Samuel 2:18 to 24. Abner tries to reason with Asahel, but Asahel continues to pursue Abner. Abner is carrying a spear, and apparently Asahel runs into it, and he dies. Later, we find Abner at the gates to the city of Hebron. What's the city of Hebron? It's a city of refuge. Remember, Hebron was one of those cities. There he is met by Joab, David's commander-in-chief. Joab is also the older brother of Asahel. So Joab has the right to kill Asahel. Joab catches Abner at the gate of the city of refuge and kills him to avenge the death of Asahel. What is most striking are the comments made by King David as he mourned the death of Abner in 2 Samuel 3:32 and 34. It's as if David was saying, Abner, you died like a fool. You were right there at the gates of the refuge, and all you had to do was walk in. Nobody had you tied up. You could have been saved, but you died like a fool. We need to remember that Jesus is our refuge, and we have an enemy of the soul that is constantly after us. And we need to tuck in. We need to get in to Jesus as our refuge and not stand outside. Some of us put Jesus on a shelf. Yep, I'll visit you on Sunday. But he wants an ongoing, ever-working, long-lasting, intimate, personal relationship with us. And that doesn't mean we don't get attacked. We do. But we have a place. We have a person. We have our God who protects us and keeps us. And he will never, ever, ever let us go. And as I close today, I'm going to read Psalm 91. And I'd like the leaders to come. I'm not going to read it all, but this is the Passion Translation. It's a beautiful book. And it's talking about, most of you will know Psalm 91, but this just gives it a different flavour. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Here's how I describe him. He's the hope that holds us and the stronghold that shelters us, the only God for us and our great confidence. And he will protect us from every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect us from false accusations and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around us, protecting us. We can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping us from harm. We will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against us. Don't fear a thing, whether by night or day. Demonic danger will not trouble you, nor the powers of evil launched against you, for God will keep us safe and secure. They won't lay a hand on us. Isn't that beautiful? That's our God. That's our protection. And today, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know how hard it is for you. I'm facing a few issues. And I really don't know, but you know, I've tucked into God. I've tucked in and I've given it to him, and I'm not doing a 360. I'm only doing 180. I do not want to give it back again. You might have something on your heart today that is so overwhelming, and sometimes we forget that Jesus is our place of refuge. I'd like us to sing this morning, He is Lord. And as you sing, I want you to place whatever it is you're dealing with today in his lordship. Because he is our protection. He is our refuge. He is the shoulder that we can cry on. He is everything to each one of us.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown from Ignite Christian Church on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more great teaching and information, visit www.ignitechurch.org.au.